My name is Pastor Timothy Low. I'm the senior pastor of Every Nation. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Pastor Tim sends his regards. He's in Timor-Leste. He's serving one of our churches over there. We have an Every Nation in Timor-Leste. So he's over there this morning. But it's so good to be back for the weekend. We came, my wife is here, and my children are in the kids' church. We came for my cousin's wedding. And it's been an exciting time to just connect with some of you here, okay? So we're in a series break, okay? And just simple title called Being Faithful with the Little Things. Let me just introduce my family really quickly. That's me, obviously. That's my wife, Roselle. She's here. And Hudson and Hannah, they're in the kids' church. And Friday, my wife and I met with a couple who are getting married soon. And my wife and I are going to be married for 10 years this year. Let's give her a hand for enduring for 10 years. And it was such an interesting time to sit opposite a couple who are about to get married. And, you know, we asked the lady, oh, what do you like about your fiancé? And she says, you know, he's very steady, very calm, very slow. You know, I need that more in my life. And I was looking at my wife, you know, last time she used to think that about me. But now it's like, hey, why so slow, huh? Can you faster a bit? the guy asked the guy, oh, what do you like about your fiancé? Oh, you know, she's very simple, very down to earth. And then I'm thinking, oh, last time also my wife, very simple. And then suddenly the taste changed, you know, everything become a bit more. but we all, that's the truth, we all change through our life. We evolve, we don't stay the same. Our taste change, our preferences change. And what's important is we remain faithful to one another. Last year, about a year ago, actually, my family and I, we moved to Kuching. Next. Okay. Why just now it's working? Okay. So last year, we moved to Kuching, 14th of March. So a year and 2 weeks, okay? And we started our first service in 9th of April. It's Easter weekend. That week, so our anniversary this year is coming next week. It'll be our first anniversary of Every Nation Church Kuching. And I remember this is Matthew Chang. Matthew is Lorraine's husband, also attends this church, and he's been working in Kuching. Such a blessing to us. I'll share a little bit about him later. My brother was there, and cousins who were visiting from Miri was there. So that was our first service. We were watching from online. And then this is our third service. This is Rachel, and she and Kaweng moved to Kuching last year. I'll share a little bit more about them. But basically, and we had this couple here. This is Josiah and Chu and their children, and they joined us. And this is Lovna and Adrian, this is Julius. And, you know, they came with us. They were on the third service there. So we see things that was moving a little bit. But what happened along the line, Julius moved to UK, and I'll share a little bit about what happened to Rachel and Kaweng later, and Lovna and Adrian, they're more Chinese-speaking, so they had moved. And I guess sometimes in our lives, we start, you know, questioning. We start questioning things, maybe in your workplace or with family or in your marriage, you start feeling this. Have you ever felt inadequate? Have you felt like an imposter? Have you ever felt like giving up or throwing in the towel? You know, there are a few times last year, Planting Church, I really reconsider the calling of my life, or doubting, or things like that, you know. So just trying to figure out, hey, did I hear correctly or not, you know? And so I found comfort in these scriptures that I've got to read to us. And it comes from 2 Timothy. And Timothy was a young pastor. He's planting a church in Ephesians. He doesn't have any church planting manual, no church planting trainings. He's the first, during that time, they're the first church planters ever, right? And Paul was his mentor, was now in prison. So Paul, his spiritual father, his mentor, is in prison. And Timothy, young guy, leading this massive church in Ephesus with different races there, and different people teaching and things like that. So it's getting a little bit messy. And Paul writes Timothy, his spiritual son, a letter. That's the text we're going to read through today. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. This was the text that you guys have been going through, isn't it? So I'm giving you the bigger context of this. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Can we just bow our heads and pray? Father, we thank you. You're a good God. You're an awesome God. And this morning, even as we go into your word, Lord, open the eyes of our heart that we might see your face, that we might hear your spirit, Lord. Thank you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. So just a little bit about Timothy. His mentor is in prison chains. Yeah, that's Paul. He wrote this letter. He's a young pastor in Ephesus. His congregation is mixed Jews and Greeks. So if you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you see that there were a little bit racist, a bit racial tension going on here, right? The Jews are saying, oh, you guys are not, you know, you're not a first-class Christian. We are, because we are from the root of the Messiah, right? And then the Greeks are saying, no, we are the real Christians because you guys are the one who crucified the Messiah, right? So there's a little bit of racial tension there. False doctrine was rampant. You know, even in 1 Timothy you read, Paul says, you know, wow, be careful of the false doctrine. And even in 2 Timothy he says, you know what, people are telling the wrong things there. Make sure you correct them. And then persecution of Christians were getting intense, right? They are persecuting Christians at the time. His mentor, his boss, is now in prison. So if they capture his boss, what more are they going to do to him, his disciple? So you can feel that probably Timothy is afraid. And he also has this timid personality. That's why that verse, you know, God did not give us a spirit of fear, right? And also in 1 Timothy, Paul reminds him, be brave, be bold. Don't let others look down on you because you are young. Right? So he's this young pastor planting this church, and now he's away from his spiritual mentor, and he's probably feeling all these feelings. He's feeling inadequate. He feels like an imposter. He probably wants to give up and throw in the towel. You know, that's why at the end of 2 Timothy, Paul encourages Timothy. He says, you know what? I fought the good fight. I've run the race. He's reminding Timothy, hey, this is not the short-term thing. You know, let's win. Let's run to win, right? Probably he wanted to give up. You know, last year when we were moving to Kuching, we were praying for a team to go along with us. And we were so glad, so elated when Kaweng and Rachel, they called, messaged us one day, called us. We got on a call and they were saying, you know what? They've been thinking and praying about going back to Kuching. But because there was no church there, it hindered them. And then when they found out that we were going there, they felt like it was a confirmation from God. Right? And amazingly, Kaweng talked to his boss, asked whether he can work remotely, and great. The boss gave him favor, gave him grace. And this family moved, the whole family from KL moved to Kuching. Rachel is originally from Kuching. They stayed with their parents there. But it was such a courageous, faithful step that they took to do that. Can we give them a hand? I just want to honor them for making that decision. And what happened was, towards the end of their time there, Kaweng's company had some restructuring going on, and they requested for him to come back, right? So now, after being there about 6-7 months, and you know, we really felt like, oh, this is, we were getting into our groove, our pattern. We're starting to establish things going on. Cowing and Rachel especially, was so instrumental in leading our kids' church. But now, some restructuring happening, and they're asking Cowing to come back in December. So they did that. They had to come back. And, you know, when that happened, I really felt like, oh, no. I felt sad. Like, oh, man, these were the guys that we meet almost every Tuesday. You know, we talk about what happened in the service before. We plan about what's coming up. Really felt like we had a team. And then, you know, they left. And then it's, you know, my poor wife was left with me as her team member. So I really felt sad during that time, and looking forward into the future as well. Like, man, how are we going to disciple our people? Because there were times, right? Last year, our church service, kid you not, it's myself and Cowing and Rachel and my wife. I remember at least one or two times, just the four of us on Sunday, right? And here I was, you know, expecting when I go back to Kuching, it's going to have revival. The church is going to explode, you know. The people are going to come to know Jesus, and our dead are going to be raised, you know. The son of Sarawak is coming back to the land, you know. but didn't happen that way. It was slow and steady kind of building. And this text really gave me some encouragement about being faithful, okay? So how do we remain faithful? You know, you might have some goals that you have set out, right, this year or next year, or perhaps you have some expectation for yourself, right? You said that you would do certain things, or you're called to do certain things. And when it gets difficult, how do you remain faithful and not throw in the towel? So just 3 points from that 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, Paul talks about fan into flame your gift and guard it. He talks about remember who called you and expect to suffer. He talks about connect with your Paul, right? You know, Paul, connect with your mentor, connect with your leader, and follow their example. So the first one in the text, it says, fan into flame and guard it. So he says, for this reason I remind you, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, of self-control. But by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Now, sometimes if we try to be faithful on our own strength, we have to grit our teeth. We have to, you know what? I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to get up at whatever time. I'm going to do that work. I'm going to run. I'm going to do it, right? When you use your own will to attempt such things. Whenever you fail, what happens? You start to blame yourself, isn't it? Your mind thinks, ah, man, I failed today. Ah, I'm such a blah, blah, blah. Ah, yeah, again, you know, I'll never, you know, you start to have these narratives in your brain. You're talking to yourself, putting yourself down. Condemnation starts to occur. And then when you condemn yourself, you know, say these things, what happens next? You feel shame. Ah, man, I'm such a shameful person. Oh, man, I couldn't do it again. And then you start to identify, oh man, I'm never going to lose weight. Oh, I'm never going to achieve that thing. I'm never going to achieve that project that I set out. Oh, I'm always going to be a failure. Wow. Right? Now that happens when we put all the strength of being faithful on our own will, our own willpower. And Paul realizes this. For Timothy to be successful as a church planter, where he is with all these challenges that you saw, he reminds Timothy, son, don't do it on your own strength. He says, fan into flame the gift of God. Fan into flame. You know what? All of us have the Spirit of God upon us. What is the gift of God? He says there, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear. And then verse 14 says, by the Spirit who dwells within us, we all have the Spirit of God in us, but the question is, are we fanning it into flame? Are we connecting to Him? Are we speaking in tongues? Are we praying? Are we reading Scripture? Are we fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? You know, when we do that, we are fanning the Spirit into flame, and He empowers us. He gives us the joy. You know, that's why in Psalms it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, but when we connect with the Holy Spirit, when we relate to those, when we pray, when we worship, open our hearts to Him, guess what? We are fanning into flame the Spirit of God, and from that, it strengthens us. We may fall, we may trip, we may stumble, but because the Holy Spirit is with us, He raises us up to say, you know what? Let's just keep doing what we're doing, right? And it's just being faithful in the little things. So for us in Kuching, it's just going out, meeting friends, creating events to meet with young people, events to meet with young professionals, meeting with friends of friends of families. You know, just doing the things that God has called us to do. The next one, He says, remember who called you. Is it back here? Remember who called you and expect to suffer. In any endeavor, any calling that God has put in your hands, expect to suffer. You know, sometimes we tell this kind of story, and you've heard it, all the testimonies, or most of the testimony, they tell you the story. It's like, wow, you know, this door opened, I went in, and it seems like very smooth sailing one. Well, everything worked out. Right? No opposition. But generally, when we read scripture, mostly when God calls the person to do something, there's almost always opposition. You might feel peace, you might feel joy, but there's almost always things that come against the mission that you're called to do. Right? And so, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us by a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace. Remember, who called you to that job? Who called you to lead that life group? Who called you to serve in that ministry? Who called you to love your wife? Who called you to father your children? Who called you to mother your children? Who called you to that role? Was it yourself? Did you decide on your own? Or was it a divine calling? Now, when we understand that it is a divine calling, we start to see our role and our vocation differently. If it is a divine calling, then we only give up when the one who called us to say, you know what, Balan, your assignment is done. This is your assignment B. Here's the next part. And He says, share in the suffering by the gospel. Expect opposition. Expect challenges. You know, almost always, you know it's the calling of God because, wow, there is opposition, there is challenges. You know, one of the ways that we're reaching out to students in Kuching is through sports ministry. I enjoy playing sports. I could have been a professional footballer. Liverpool could have signed me, but, you know, I was like, you know what, Liverpool, I want to be a pastor. The Lord has called me. Instead of becoming a professional footballer anyway. So one of the ways that we reach out to students over there is through sports. I did a workshop at one of the colleges nearby. I made some friends with the students there and said, hey, let's play futsal together. You guys play football? Let's play futsal together. And I started a futsal club with a group of students. Just, you know, I enjoy playing with them, coaching a bit, spending time with them, you know, on a more frequent basis. And then last year we did our Christmas event, you know, just through this group of students. They invited their friends, their classmates, and we did this Christmas event. And maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went back to this college to support some of our church members, students. They were doing a performance. I went there to support them. And then I met one of the lecturers that invited me over there. And we had a quick chat. And she said, you know, I apologize. We didn't invite you again. It's because some of the students complained about you. And I was like, oh, really? Well, why? Oh, they complained about the event that you invited them to. And, you know, and apparently, you know, not everyone is happy when you get invited to a Christmas event. And honestly, I felt down, like, I'm thinking, wow, these kids are so ungrateful, you know. I had a, They didn't pay any money, so come to this event, makan or whatever. Oh, they didn't complain about me. You complain about me? I wonder, you know, just having this kind of thought. And then I was feeling a bit down because I thought these were my family. You know, these were my friends. No way they complain about me, right? They all are smiling when they left. They, you know, they come to our house, they eat dinner, we feed them, we sing karaoke. But someone is complaining about me? How dare that someone complain about me? Honestly, I felt down. I felt like, oh man, what am I doing wrong? And trying to start to question my approach. And then I remember, and then I had a thought that came to my mind. Could have been the Holy Spirit. He says, Balan, were you expecting no opposition or what? Were you expecting everything will be smooth and sailing? Is that what you were expecting? Said, of course, there's going to be challenges. Of course, there's going to be complaints about you. Even with Pastor Stephen also complained about you. What more? Non-Christians, you know. Sorry, love you. Yeah, what more non-Christians, right? So when I was reading this text, it just reminded me, yeah, actually, when God has called you to something, called you to a mission, called you to a purpose, there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be challenges. Okay? The problem is when we don't expect it and we expect it to be smooth sailing, right? That's when we get disappointed. That's when we start questioning things. But if from the front end we say, you know what? There's going to be challenges. I'm going to face opposition. But come, this is how I will suffer the gospel. Suffer for the gospel. Just as scripture reminds us, right? So how do we remain faithful? So the first one just now, we talked about fan into flame. I mean, can use, draw the strength by the Holy Spirit. The second one, yeah. Expect opposition. Expect to suffer. And the third one, connect with your Paul and follow their example. You know, during our 1 year journey in Kuching, you know, we're so privileged to every week, almost every week, meet with Pastor Tim over Zoom. We talk about our ministry, talks about our marriage, talks about so many things. And I feel like I have a Paul who's not in prison that I get to talk to and to share my challenges and my labors, you know. And sometimes I'm afraid to go on that Zoom call. Yeah, because I'm afraid to tell, you know, Pastor Tim, didn't do so well last week, or, you know, talk about my disappointing experience, you know, and afraid to disappoint my pastor again. You know, I feel that tension. But every time I meet with Pastor Tim, even though I might feel the fear and trembling sometimes before I enter there, I always come out, always, every time, feeling empowered, feeling grace, feeling the grace of God from my leaders, Pastor Tim. So Pastor Sean would also text me once in a while, get on a call once in a while. So many people that I have who are like Pauls to me, that help me, remind me of my calling, remind me of my purpose, remind me of the expectations of me. And you know what? It gives me strength to persevere, continue, as it were. And, you know, our Every Nation Church in Kuching is watching online with us today. Is it okay if we say hello, Kuching, to them? Is it okay? Okay, I'll count to three and we'll say hello, Kuching, okay? Is that right? Okay, one, two, three. Okay, so have a Paul. Do you have a Paul in your life? Do you have a mentor? Do you have a leader that you can go to, track with you through your whatever calling or mission that God has given you, right? You have someone, today's lingo, they call him maybe a business coach, right? Do you have a spiritual coach, right? And are they tracking along with you, praying along with you, reminding who you are, stirring the fanning to flame, the Holy Spirit in your life? So that was our first service. This was our third one. Okay, this is the wrong text. It should say, this is our last service. This was last Sunday, 17th of March, 2024. So about a year. And You know, the thing I'm most grateful for during this 1 year is at these people. It's creating new friendships, getting to know people on a deeper level, journeying with people, laughing with them, crying with them. And we have a group of students here from the college over here. We have young professionals. We have young families here. And it's just been such a time to see the church grow and to see now, I felt like the church becoming more whole because we have different stages of life represented. We have we have kids, we have university students, we have young professionals, we have families joining us. And to get to know them, their lives, and to pray with them, to journey with them, and get them to encounter God, it's been such an amazing journey. And to see our core team, you know, last year we had Cowing and Rachel with us, such a blessing. You know, and this year Matthew is with us. This is Deborah. Matthew and Deborah are from Every Nation here. Deborah is Auntie Amy's daughter. Started working there in Kuching. We have Samuel and Mark who helps us in the worship team. Thank God, my wife is so glad now that it's not just me singing, leading worship all the time. Yeah, she's tired of hearing my voice and worshiping already. So it's good to hear somebody else lead worship. But now we have someone who can play guitar, play keyboard with us. So the team is starting to grow and we're getting there. And honestly, it's all because of just being faithful with the little things. Someone give you a phone number, message them. Hey, let's meet up. You know, someone introducing someone. When I think about our church, like Josiah and Chu was introduced by Angie, who plays keyboard here once in a while. The parents are in Kuching, and Josiah Chu was introduced by them, and they brought their friends, Caleb and Deborah, and also Carolina. They invited them. This is Alex and Bibi, who I knew a long time ago from my Jahiliyah period. I don't know whether it makes sense, but during my dark era time, I used to play in heavy metal bands, and Alex was part of that underground scene. He was in another band, and that's how I knew him, maybe 20 years ago. When I first met him, 2022, November, I asked him, you know, what do you think about God, and what's your perspective about God? He said, oh, I believe in a higher benevolent being. Okay, so not necessarily Jesus Christ or Lord, but a higher and benevolent being. And it's so amazing to see how he has moved from believing in a higher benevolent being to now Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you know. And yeah, it's amazing to hear his testimony as well. And when he came with us, he came to us to our one of our services, he met one of my cousins who now attends with us. And my cousin said, hey, Alex, what are you doing here? They were surprised to see each other. And then Alex tells me, you know what? 5 years ago, I went to this cousin's restaurant and they started talking. And you know what? Your cousin prayed for me. And to see that there's some kind of miraculous connection there from my cousin 5 years ago, praying for this guy, Alex. And now Alex is part of our church. It's just really amazing. And we have a group of students here who are joining us a little bit more consistently now. And they were the ones that helped me run the Christmas event. And to see how just being faithful to the relationship, playing futsal, meeting up, going to makan, praying together, getting to know their lives. And now, you know, they're telling me about their lives and their girlfriends and all the things that goes along with being that age. And just being faithful like that, I see God just doing whatever he does, right? So what season are you going through this season? You know what? The opposite of faithfulness is what we see happen to Paul as well in 2 Timothy. He talks about his friends turn away from me. He talks about some of his leaders that he used to mentor and teach have swerved away from the truth. He talks about some of his leaders loved this present world and deserted me and gone to somewhere else. He talks about some people coming to church or some of the people that they used to know now opposing the message of the gospel. What is the opposite of faithfulness? Deserting, perhaps, your friends. Opposing the message of the gospel. And we see that Paul is warning Timothy, if you don't fan into flame the Holy Spirit, Timothy, if you don't remember who called you and that to expect suffering because your master, Jesus Christ, suffered, what more you, a disciple? Timothy, if you don't connect with me, if you don't be discipled, you might desert me. You might turn away from the message. You might love the present world more than the eternal world, the kingdom of God. Timothy, will you remain faithful? I just want to close with this story. I heard it from my sister. There's a lady called Colette. She's a French lady who spends her time between Miri and Singapore. French lady. 30 years ago, she was in Borneo, in Miri, and God told her to buy a piece of land in Miri. She didn't know why. At that time, I think it was 21,000 ringgit for this. I think it is something like 2 acres, piece of land. 21,000 ringgit. And in 30 years ago, God asked her to buy this piece of land. She doesn't know why, but being a faithful, obedient lady, she just bought it lah. She said she probably went to see it like one time only. In fact, she even didn't collect the title of the deed, of the land. Left it with the lawyer. 30 years later, God put in her heart, it's time to sell this land. 30 years later, it's time to give away this land. 30 years later. And she attends my sister's church, Cornerstone in Miri. She tells my sister and Pastor Sebi, I felt like God told me to give this land to the church. And for my sister, throughout the whole thing, blah, 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 when they finally handed over the land to the church, the day that it was signing, it landed on my sister's birthday. So for her, it's like God telling her, happy birthday, this kind of thing. So they went and visited the land, and they saw a hibiscus plant there. Okay, that's the only living or thing on the land that was like visible aside from brush, right? This one hibiscus flower, a tree and one hibiscus flower. So they go back to Colette and they start praying for her and hearing her story and start praying for her. And somewhere along the line, my sister begins to tell Colette, Colette, I feel like God's telling me you are like a hibiscus flower, right? Just prophesying over this lady, Colette, and using a hibiscus flower to describe her. And during that time, next to her, Colette was the daughter. And they were both shocked. Because every day, Colette goes outside. She has a hibiscus brush tree. She takes hibiscus tree and puts it in a pot and prays. That's her ritual. Take hibiscus tree, put it in a pot and start to pray. And my sister doesn't know this. And they didn't know that on that land there's one hibiscus tree. But then when they start declaring hibiscus over her, boom. It felt like the word of God speaking to them. Can I have the worship team keyboard? God is so specific. 30 years of faithfulness. And only now they begin to see what is the purpose of that land. They gave it to this church. And at that time, my sister and their church, they have a woman's ministry that is dealing with drug addiction amongst women. They have a rehab center. And the rehab center is full. My wife and I went to visit. They have about, I think it was 15 or so young ladies there. Some as young as 15 years old, actually, who are so-called rescued from KTVs. They were deep in drugs. And they desire us, Lord, there is a need for this ministry. How do we do this? And through the faithfulness of this lady, 30 years ago, now they have a piece of land and they're thinking and praying to build rehab center there, Bible school there. You never know what that little faithfulness in your life, what kind of fruits it'll produce in the future. But as you continue to fan into flame your relationship with the Holy Spirit, as you continue to remember who called you and to expect opposition, and as you continue to be discipled, talk to your leaders, you may not see right now what exactly is the fruits of your faithfulness. What's the fruit of your obedience? But 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years, 30 years from now, you'll see the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. That's why he says, this is a trustworthy saying for me, Paul writes to Timothy. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. But if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The character of God is faithfulness. That is who he is. And because God is faithful, we are faithful. As we reflect his character by fanning to flame the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we remember who calls us, we begin to transform, to become more and more like him. Faithful in the little things. And we remember Jesus Christ on the night that he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows that he's going to the cross. It's going to be the most painful, horrid thing that he will ever experience. He's so stressed out, so freaked out, so afraid, he's sweating blood. He gets on his knees and he begins to beg his father, if it's possible, take this away from me. 3 times, Father, if it's possible, take this away from me. And yet he says, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus remained faithful to you and me. He was so faithful, he endured the cross. He was so faithful, he endured separation from the Father. Or he felt separation from the Father. You know, at the cross he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? So then are we going to forsake our God? Are we going to forsake our mission? Because Jesus did not forsake. He went to the cross for you and me. Are we then going to surrender whatever we're going to do? Or are we going to follow the example of Jesus Christ who said, but Lord, not my will, but your will be done. What if your KPI is not life group growth? What if your KPI is not, you know, a bigger church or more salvations? What if the KPI that God requires of each of us is faithfulness? We will be transformed to become more and more like him. Because when we become like him, the rest of the fruits will follow. That's what God wants to do in our lives. Develop faithfulness. When he returns, will he find a faithful church? When he returns, will he find faithful sons and daughters? To this I say yes and amen, all of us. When he returns, he will find a faithful church, a faithful son and daughters. So that's what he's looking for. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. You are a good God and you are an awesome God. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you love each and every one of us so much so that you sent your son Jesus to endure the cross. We thank you, Lord, that your word says, even we are faithless, you remain faithful. Lord, there are going to be times that we doubt, that we feel inadequate, that we may behave in faithless ways. But we thank you, Lord. By your grace, your faithfulness, you'll restore us. You'll reconcile us to your love, to your grace, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us today. May we become more and more like you, Lord Jesus Christ. To become faithful in the little things and the big things, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.